So I've heard many great talks already this morning that look at the effect of biodiversity on ecosystem functioning in quite interesting trophic interactions. But I'd like to step back for a minute and remind you that these are, in some ways, anomalous or unusual studies for this field. Most biodiversity ecosystem function studies ignore the fact that species occur within food webs. So by that I mean that species are at risk throughout food webs. However, a lot of studies, a lot of biodiversity function studies, examine diversity at a single trophic level. And generally that trophic level has been grassland plants. Furthermore, the vast majority of these studies examine function at only one trophic level. And finally, vanishingly few of the studies examine the directionality of diversity effects. And that final point is what I want to talk about today. So let me define first what I mean by directionality. So basically, there's two directions in food webs, top down and bottom up. Now, you know these terms quite well from decades of research on what happens when we manipulate the standing stock, the biomass of a trophic level. So let me explain what I mean by these terms when I'm talking about the manipulation, not of biomass, but instead of diversity. So let's take a very simple example where you've got consumers which are consuming a resource. A top-down effect of diversity means the effect of consumer diversity on affecting either the rate of resource depletion by the consumers, which is here, as well as the conversion of these resources into new consumer biomass. So given the previous work in this area, we'd expect these top-down effects to be generally positive. That is, as you increase consumer diversity, the expectation is that you get an increase in both resource depletion and consumer standing stock. Bottom-up effects, as you might imagine, are the opposite. So instead of looking at the effects of consumer diversity, we're now looking at the effects of resource diversity. On the same two functions, still the depletion of resources by the consumer and the conversion of those into new consumer biomass, with again the same null expectation of a positive relationship between diversity and these measures of function. So the question I want to ask today is, are the top-down effects of diversity and function exactly the same, equal in sign and magnitude, to the bottom-up effects of diversity? So why is this important? Well, first of all, we know that its top-down and bottom-up effects are likely to be important of diversity, are likely to be important in food web, just given the conclusion from the past few decades of research that both are important in terms of changes in top-down or bottom-up effects of biomass change. If there is a difference in either sign or magnitude between bottom-up and top-down effects, it is going to become very difficult to say general things about species loss in food web. So let me just give you a hypothetical example. Suppose as we lose consumer species, resource depletion is reduced in the system. But suppose at the same time, as we lose resource species, resource depletion is increased in the same system. So what happens when we lose both consumer and resource species? Well, all bets are off, really, unless we know something very particular about this system. Now, the system that I'm going to talk about today to test these ideas is a decomposer, our decomposer systems. So in this case, the resource is the number of plant species that contribute to the dead organic matter that's being consumed, as shown in this panel. And I hope you appreciate there is a picture of an insect in my talk, given this conference. So the consumers are detritivores in the system, which include insects, but also include other taxa, for example, fungi or bacteria. There's a few reasons we're talking about decomposition. One is a very practical reason. I would have loved to stand up here and told you about other functions in addition to decomposition, like herbivory, like parasitism, like pollination, like predation. Unfortunately, we don't have enough studies on both the top-down and bottom-up parts of this those equations to do the analysis. So we can only really do the meta-analysis on decomposition. Second reason is decomposition is vitally important. Most green plant biomass doesn't actually end up in the bellies of herbivores. Instead, it senesces, it dies, it falls to the ground. And how many people here raked leaves in the last month? Yeah. So you all are very intimately familiar with the large amount of dead organic matter that is produced by plants. That dead organic matter is decomposed, releases carbon in the form of CO2 or methane, also releases nutrients. Both of these are really important in terms of thinking about greenhouse gases. Obviously, CO2 and methane increases greenhouse effects, whereas nutrients, fuel, are usually the limiting factor for prime productivity that sops up some of those greenhouse gases. So understanding decomposition is really important, thinking about the global carbon budget. On to what we did. So we took 28 studies where we could get a total of 90 observations, both top-down manipulations and bottom-up manipulations, where one of those functions that I mentioned in the previous slide was measured. I'm going to focus on rates of decomposition, which is the response variable, and there's some manipulation of diversity. In all studies, we have monocultures versus polycultures, and in that case, we can calculate the log response ratio, which is simply polyculture or the monoculture means. Now, if those means are the same, you're taking the log of 1, which is 0. So if this metric is 0, there's no net effect of diversity and function on decomposition. For many of the studies, we also have levels, intermediate levels of diversity. So in that case, when we've got these type of data, we can fit a relationship to the data. And overall, the best relationship is a power function, which has a very nice attribute of the exponent can be very easily interpreted of power functions. If the exponent is 0, flatline response. So that's the null model that Sharon talked about earlier. If the exponent is 1, we have a proportional or linear response. And if it's between 0 and 1, then we get a curvilinear response of the type that I've just shown here. Here are the results. So this is for decomposition, and I've shown you the two metrics. In the top here, we've got the log response ratio, below it, the power exponent, top-down manipulations of diversity, so remember that's manipulating the detritivores, and bottom-up manipulations, so remember that's manipulating the detritus. In both of those graphs, we see basically the same pattern. So even though they're on slightly different subsets of the data, same pattern, and the pattern is top-down effects of diversity have strong positive effects on decomposition. So these means here are far away from 0. However, bottom-up effects have a very different story. That's the interaction that's coming out as significant. In fact, bottom-up manipulations are not significantly different than 0. Just to show you what this power exponent looks like, if we go to the typical diversity function type of graph. Here we've got decomposition on the y-axis. So top-down effects of diversity, strong positive effect of diversity on decomposition. Bottom-up, basically no mean effect. Let me start by talking about the top-down effects. In some ways, a strong positive top-down effect was not a surprise to us. And that was because we had done an earlier study where it looked at multiple trophic groups and the top-down effects of diversity and function. Detritivores are at the top here in brown, but we also looked at predators, herbivores, and live plants. And only one of these gets overlaps zero. Everything else is different than zero, suggesting that top-down effects are uniformly positive amongst all these different trophic groups. What did surprise us was the no net effect of bottom-up effects, no net effect of detrital diversity. Now, this was a surprise because in compiling all this data, I was aware of all these studies that showed that that detrital diversity had non-additive effects on decomposition. That is, you couldn't predict the mixtures from the sum of the parts. So how could we reconcile this with our findings? This is how. So here we've got the same graph that I showed you a minute ago, log response ratio. I've just gone back to the original studies and asked which one of those were significant. So here we've got the top-down studies. All the dark bars here are significant and the open bars are not significant. So you can see that virtually all of the significant studies that found significant diversity function effects or top-down effects were all positive. But for bottom-up diversity effects, they're both positive and negative. So yes, within studies we get significant effects, but there just turn out to be as many positive effects as there are negative effects, so on average they cancel each other out. Now the other thing that we were concerned about is whether there could be some artifacts of differences in experimental design between manipulations of resource of detrital diversity and manipulations of detritivore diversity. We knew that they're just that researchers tended to do things differently for these two different classes of experiments. So first of all, there is a terrestrial bias in manipulations of detrital diversity. There's more that have been done in terrestrial than aquatic systems. Conversely, there's an aquatic bias in studies of top-down effects, manipulations of detritivore diversity. So could it be that we simply get stronger diversity function effects in aquatic systems? Is that the real pattern that's underlying this? And we top-down is just kind of pulled along with that covariate. In fact, there's a bunch of covariates that we were concerned about because six out of the eight things that we measured in terms of experimental design did significantly differ between bottom-up and top-down manipulations. For example, what kind of taxa were used as the detritivore, whether the experiments are inside or out, whether they used all possible combinations of species within richness levels, how long it was for, and details of how resource depletion, that is decomposition, was measured. So the way to test for this is to throw these covariates first into the equation and top-down, bottom-up effects last into the equation and ask if these top-down, bottom-up effects are still significant after accounting for these covariates. And the answer is it isn't an artifact. The top-down effects are still significant. Okay, so this is actually quite a robust pattern. So what's behind this pattern? I should begin by cautioning that most studies have not been able to pin down the mechanisms. There's lots of good ideas out there, but we don't have very good tests of mechanisms. And that's really because it's quite hard in the system to get to mechanisms. You can't do what plant biologists have done, which is use additive partitioning methods for this type of system. But given that, there is evidence that some systems could be affected by facilitation. For example, amongst insects, there's evidence for detrital processing chain whereby insects that shred or scrape detritus convert intact detritus into much smaller particle sizes which fit into the mentums of collector insects, for example, things like chironomids. So one insect can facilitate decomposition by another insect, or detrital processing by another insect. Same sort of thing happens in the breakdown of cellulose to simpler sugars amongst fungi. Detritivores may also simply do different things. They may go after different parts of the detritus, for example, or different types of the detritus. And then there's the usual ogre of sampling effects. Finally, bottom-up mechanisms. Well, here, again, little strong evidence of mechanisms. But we need to think of mechanisms that can explain both positive and negative effects of diversity on function. One of those mechanisms could involve leaf chemistry, that is, of the detritus. So as a dead leaf decomposes, it leaches stuff. Now, if that stuff is nutrients, you can get the leaching of, for example, nitrogen from a fast decomposing species to a species that is decomposing really quite slowly because it's got a really high carbon to nitrogen ratio, which could speed up the overall decomposition of the mixture. Conversely, if that stuff is secondary chemicals, that could impede the decomposition of the entire mixture. Other effects that could work either way might be effects on the detritus on the consumers simply by modifying habitat heterogeneity or affecting their feeding behavior. And there's also limited evidence of these effects. But really, a lot more needs to be done on these very particular mechanisms, which is a call out to the grad students in the audience. So in summary, at least in brown food webs, and I caution we don't have enough info from green food webs to say something definitive here, top-down and bottom-up effects differ, which means it's going to be quite hard to generalize for entire food webs what's going to happen when we lose species from multiple trophic levels. Specifically, detritivore diversity increased decomposition, whereas detritus diversity worked either way. We now know the patterns quite well, so where we need to move forward in this research is very much on the process front. Thank you.
Is there a relationship between the diversity of the detritus and the diversity of detritivores?
So I should emphasize that all these experiments are done in totally controlled situations.
Oh, sure.
But in nature, I suspect so, but I couldn't quote you a paper saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's an interesting scenario wherein if there were canceling effects or something in the real world, it's hard to determine the direction.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, so you might actually expect diversity to co-vary at these two trophic levels. Yeah.
Do you think that time and the time scale of these interactions is playing a role here? So for the consumer diversity to get a faster response in what you're measuring, but for the detritus, maybe the longer time scale, and so the response is harder to measure and quantify?
I think, yeah, even though we corrected for differences in the duration of the experiments between these two, which is a slightly different question, that wasn't important. But I'm really glad you brought out time, because that it turned out that the time of the experiment ran, in general, for both of these trophic levels, was really critical. I just happen to have a graph that shows this. So we found that as you increase the length of the experiment by a month, you got a 2% increase in polyculture function versus monocultures, which is exactly what we saw in analogous data for plant productivity, where you also see a strengthening of the diversity function relationship as time goes on. Now, you've asked if there's an interaction between this effect and trophic level. That's an interesting question, and it would be fun to go back and play with the data to have a little look at that. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah. do you think the higher probability of having a Keystone be treatable in the set is really one thing important? I mean, you know, one species that decomposes everything much more efficiently. So increasing diversity increases the chance of getting that. Do you think that's a common pattern?
Yeah, very few of the studies were able to discount the sampling effect, which is essentially what you're asking. Yeah, very few of the studies. The best way to discount the sampling effect is a method that Andy Hector and Michel Leroux devised called additive partitioning, which means that you have to figure out exactly who's eating what in terms of the detritivores eating the detritus, which is not possible in this system. Yeah.